happy Thursday. What a beautiful day it is outside. This is Rogue Cell Radio here in Astoria. We're live in the studio. My name is Sean Davis. I'm a combat veteran. I was in for 12 years, 6 years regular Army and 6 years in the National Guard. During my service, I deployed to Haiti for Operation Uphold Democracy. I was in Iraq, where I was critically injured with a car bomb. And then after I healed up, I was sent down to Hurricane Katrina to help out in New Orleans. And now I made my way to Astoria, where we have this amazing radio show. But I'm not here by myself. I'm here with Sean, the other Sean.
This is other Sean, Sean John. And I am also a combat veteran. I served from 2006 to 2012, stationed out of Fort Polk, Louisiana, and did three tours, two in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. After getting out, I returned back here to the coast and worked for a little bit, and now I'm retired and working with these guys at Rogue.
So. And I want to talk about how that all happened, how we all formed Rogue Cell and stuff, but you know, I always talk to you, and I know you did two tours in Iraq and then one in Afghanistan. What did you do? You were a Cav Scout all of those tours?
I was a Cav Scout, 19 Delta, and I knew when I wanted to join the service, I knew at some point I was going to join, and I didn't necessarily know which branch. I told myself I didn't want to go in the Coast Guard because that's what my dad did.
Your dad was in the Coast Guard.
He was a Marine Science Technician on the Klamath, and the Klamath is... it's been decommissioned, and I understand the Klamath is now located down in Costa Rica. It's a training vessel down there.
So. You know, living here, I'd never really dealt with the Coast Guard before because, you know, I don't know. I was always Army, and I was Army Infantry. But I'll tell you, my daughter was thinking about joining the military, and I told her, join the Coast Guard.
You know, it's something crazy. I think back on that decision I made, and had I wanted to make the military, a lifetime career. Coast Guard's the way to go. And but I didn't want to look like I was following in my dad's footsteps.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I believe a lot in what our rescue swimmers and our EMTs, emergency responders, do.
Yeah.
And my goal was to become a flight medic. I wanted to become pararescue. And
I looked at
the training those guys did.
It's one of the toughest trainings.
They're hardcore.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, maybe that's not the best route for me. I don't know if I can do that.
And, oh, man.
You know, I have a lot of admiration for what they do.
Yeah.
So then I went and talked to the Marine recruiter.
Oh, don't do that.
And
I know. Some of my best friends are Marines, but I like to give them.
He told me, he's like, what are you even doing here? Like, your scores on your tests, like, you should go to officer school. I'm like,
hey,
well, that's
a
thought. Maybe I'll go
Marines.
To OCS, but I want to do enlisted time first.
Yeah.
And do my service and become a better non-commissioned officer before I think about becoming a commissioned officer, because your best officers in history had prior service time, and it just...
Well, I know a lot of good ones who were enlisted and became officers. My story isn't as thought out. I was just growing up in the late 80s, early 90s in Central Oregon. Everybody were loggers, and all of a sudden the timber industry failed. 70% of my graduating class joined the military. And but I didn't at first. I didn't. I waited, but I was working a dead-end job, and... I tried to join the Peace Corps, so I called the Peace Corps up, and I'm like, yeah, I want to join. I want to go do something important. I want to travel. And they said, oh, that is awesome. What's your degree in? And I'm like, oh, no, you have to have a college degree to join the Peace Corps. So the next week, I joined the Army Infantry. So to talk about an about face there.
Did you get any kind of pushback from your buddies that you grew up with, everybody that joined and you didn't?
I don't know. I never really talked to any of them ever again. I left that spot. I was over in Sweet Home, Oregon. I just happened to last 2 years graduate from there. So I really never, I lost track of everybody. But my first big chunk of service was regular Army, and that was difficult. Schofield Barracks, Hawaii, Fort Drum, New York, and then out to Bad Aibling, Germany, where I was a military police officer. I did, and we had to do investigations there too because we didn't have any CID in that area. So that was pretty. That was pretty intense. That's what made me have so much respect for what law enforcement does. You were a police officer after you got out for a while.
I did. I was very fortunate when I got out of the service. Something veterans struggle with when they get out of the military is that sense of camaraderie, that sense of purpose, which is, why Rogue Cell is, here to help in bringing some of that purpose and stuff back. But, I was fortunate, when I got out, I didn't have a job lined up. I didn't necessarily know exactly what I was going to do. But I took it upon myself and just, went and started visiting some of the local police departments and fire departments and said, hey, I'm back and I'm wondering if you guys are hiring. And I walked into Cannon Beach and they said, well, we're in a little bit of a hiatus right now. We're in between police chiefs. And so we will be hiring. Give us your information and we'll contact you and let you know when
it happens. What year was that?
That was 2013.
Wow.
So yeah, I just got home. So my service ended in February of 2013. But I had enough leave accumulated and everything that I took off like in December and then just spent the rest of my time at home. And so I got the call back and then went through the whole ordeal, going through the academy. What was really cool, one of my medics at Fort Polk, his name's Dewey, he's from Eugene, and he got assigned to 4th Brigade, 10th Mountain Division, and we deployed together, and then he ended up restationing to Fort Lewis, and when he got out, he wanted to become a police officer, and he got hired on by Portland Police Bureau.
Oh, that's cool.
He and I both went to the academy together.
That's cool. Yeah, I had a couple friends who joined the police, Oregon, the state police, but also Portland police. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I want to talk about Rogue Cell, how it formed. So I ended up coming here after getting out of the military. I was in security, and then I went into teaching college after I got my master's degree. And but I left Portland years ago to go to where I grew up, a small town in the hills called Mackenzie Bridge on the Mackenzie River. But in 2020, that entire area was burnt over by the Holiday Farm fire. And I was out there the next day because I was also a wildland firefighter and, using my skills that I learned in the military to help the entire community recover. We were out there doing physical stuff, but we were also out there helping out with organizations and working with FEMA and working with, community leaders and politicians, pretty much stuff that I did in the military, but using it in the real world. Of course, not getting paid for any of it. It was all volunteer. But after that whole thing burnt down, we were looking for a new home and we decided to move here to Astoria. I mean, after all, it is surrounded by water. So hopefully we won't. But then I, moved here to get it settled in. They're like, oh, yeah, the town burnt down twice. I'm like, don't tell my wife and daughter that. But that was a long time ago. We stopped making our fire hydrant pipes out of wood, right? At least that's what I heard. Yeah. But anyway, moving here, go to a vet breakfast. I knew the VSO at the time, Veteran Service Officer, which we're going to talk about that position and what it does. But it was Josh Davis, and he still comes around and helps. He's still helping veterans. But he introduced me to this group called Together with Veterans, and it's a national program, but it had small satellite groups all around the country. And we successfully started one here in Oregon. From that group, that's when Brad Peitzik and I decided to start our own little thing called Rogue Cell. And that was started about 3 years ago, I think. And we're talking about it today because just last month we finally got our official nonprofit status from the IRS, REIN. And now we're a real honest to goodness nonprofit. And what do we do? How'd we get you in here? You talk about how you met us and stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny. You tell bits of your story, and I listen, and it's so funny how so much correlates, you know, the similarities. You know, you talk about your service growing up in a logging community, and then your
because you grew up here, and this is a logging community. It's fishers and fallers.
And then you talk about firefighting, and I loved wildland firefighting, and that was what made me want to become a volunteer firefighter. I hate to say this, and I'm sure all my firefighting buddies are gonna yell at me later, but I could care less about structure fire. Wildland fire was my favorite.
Yeah, structure fire, everything's made out of chemicals that burn really fast, and it gives you all kinds of weird things in your lungs. And wildland fires, it's something about being out there when the sun's rising and you're on a piece of land that you just walked to that nobody's been to probably ever, or at least, you know, in years and years.
Yeah.
And, I worked my way up from, I was just digging, you know, line to the last season, I was an engine boss and my daughter was on my crew.
You have family. Really cool. You have family that were firefighters. My great, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my mom and dad, all active in firefighting, and I continued the tradition. And so, you know, very important. So, again, like I go back, you know, there's so many similarities. And something I struggled with when I went through my divorce and everything, I lost friendships and really lost my sense of purpose. I stopped working and finally got to a point I said, you know, I'm going to self-retire. I have the ability that with my disability that I received from the VA, I can take off and just take care of myself. And that's what I focused on. And I got to a point where I just said, you know, I need to get out. I need to go do something. And that particular day, there's a vet breakfast at Lum's.
Yeah.
First Thursday of every month, folks are encouraged, veterans families encouraged to attend the vet breakfast at Lum's.
And then you came over to...
And I came over to Vet Coffee. I heard about Vet Coffee at the Astoria Elks from 9 to 11. And right away, Brad and yourself, you came right up, introduced yourself, and I met Peg and Ralph and Norton and Mike and other Mike.
Don't forget Dale.
Dale.
Bernice.
And just everybody. And it was a great group. And again, looking back at so many similarities between you and I and our stories, what did we find out that day? We were both celebrate our Alive Day within a day of each other.
Yeah, my Alive Day is June 13th. Yours
June
is
12th.
I happened to go there. I was having a hard time, and I was telling everybody I'm having a hard time. And that's what these groups are for, you know, talk to other vets because they understand. And I was like, I'm having a hard time. Tomorrow's my Alive Day. And that means that I was critically injured, and I was brought back a little because, it was pretty nasty. So it was difficult. Because when you have that anniversary in your life, it's really difficult to, when you get there, your body feels the pain all over again. Not the same way, of course, but your leg will stiffen up and your shoulder, and then your mind just goes, and it's good to have other people there. And so my live day was the next day. Yours, you stepped up, like mine is today. So that was pretty cool, and that's what that group is for.
I was in the same mental state as you that day, like, that's why I attended, because I was like, I need something. I need this camaraderie. And so, you know, and I looking back on this last year, it hasn't been a full year of knowing you guys, but wow, how
big
my
difference.
Life has changed.
Yeah.
And I look back, I'm like, had I not gone, where would I be now? And, I mean, you guys brought me right on board, and then you're like, hey, you want to go to Denver with us?
Yeah, we went to that national conference.
Oh, it was just, it was fantastic to get the opportunity to be surrounded by, you know, veterans, yourselves, and to gain that.
Yeah.
That friendship, that camaraderie again.
Well, that's why we started Rogue Cell. So, so together with veterans was kind of our Oregon was more based in Hillsboro, and we were out here on the coast. So we're going to do our own thing, And we're going to start a podcast because everybody has a podcast. And we did that for a while. And then we love KMUN so much that we were like, you know what? We're gonna see if we can get a radio show. And so we were able to do that. And it's just been pretty amazing to be able to do this. And then we're like, what else can we do? And so we had learned that Oregon was in the top five of states across the country for veteran suicide in rural areas. And so Brad and I, we were like, why? Why is this? We're going to go ask people. So we got a bunch of camera equipment and we rented some and we got grants. One of the biggest grants we got was 100 Clatsop Women Who Care, which they are the best. And we were able to get out on the road. We drove, at the end of it, we drove about 4,000 miles to small towns all over Oregon from every corner of this state. From here to the Owyhee Canyonlands, up to Pendleton, down to Klamath Falls, the Willamette Valley, the Gorge, everywhere. And we were talking to, we spoke to veterans, we spoke to their family members, we spoke to a Gold Star mother, a Gold Star wife. That means they lost their husband or their son, and in this case, to suicide. And we even spoke to State Senator James Manning, who is a great guy. He really helped and championed us. We testified at the Capitol down in Salem about what was going on. And we talked to our Senator Jeff Merkley. And he was in the documentary. And we put it all together and we came back. And it took us about a year to put it together, but we had it all edited. And then we went to the Liberty Theater and we're like, hey, you know, we really want to show this in our community. Could we rent the McTavish room? Because then it's like only 100 people. Right. We're like, this is going to be great. And they're like, we love what you're doing. We're going to give you a good deal for the entire theater. 600 seats. McTavish room what has like 100 people. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, no. That's so nice of you. Thanks.
How nervous were you?
Oh, man. I wasn't nervous the day of, because we did so much work. I take my nerves and I put it into being prepared and work, because really I think that fear on these types of things, maybe with everything, comes from not knowing what's going to happen. So we did everything we could. We went to Portland to be on a morning show. I think that was Coin Tower. It's Coin Tower. And that you were there.
Yeah.
And then we went to, we had a Portland news station, KGW, come out here and do a story on us here in Astoria.
But that was at the Liberty Theater.
Yeah, we did so much press there, and we put so many press releases out that at the day that it came up, I'm like, people, you know, if I get 100 people here, I'll be happy. But we packed that place. I was really proud to be an Astorian because, holy cow, so many people showed up to support our veterans.
And I know there were so many emotions, and just, you know, I'm sure you and Brad were just, you know, nervous and kind of grinding your teeth a little bit, but having been there and supporting you two, I can't tell you how excited I am for both you and Brad and what you've accomplished. And then that showing, it, you guys knocked it out of the park.
Yeah,
and
it was good.
A lot of people have reached out saying, hey, how can I see this documentary? How can I see it? And I know you guys had talked that you wanted to wait. You wanted to wait till the premiere showing before releasing it to folks. There was talk about trying to get out and travel throughout rural Oregon and show it to those communities that you worked in. But for those that are listening in, how can they see the documentary? How can they go about it?
Well, we didn't want to try to monetize this because, and it's tough being a nonprofit. You have to raise money, and we really don't have a product. You can't really sell suicide prevention, you know, in chunks or whatever, or by a subscription. You know, we're just out there doing it, and it's really difficult. But we've been really lucky with the grants that we've been writing. But if people, so we decided to put the movie out there for free. So we put it on YouTube and you can look up, Battlegrounds and Backroads, Rogue Cell, documentary. And it's up there. It's 52 minutes long. That said, we're still showing it. We'll be showing it next month in Tillamook, with the veteran service officers down there and the and some other groups, I think the American Legion and the Elks Lodge and the theater down there. So I'll have more information on that next month, because we're going to have our radio show about 4 days before that shows. Mm-hmm. But this whole long-winded explanation goes back to why we started Rogue Cell, and it's because veterans need a purpose. You know, a lot of us, we had such a huge purpose in the military. And I always related it to coming back from war to, like, you had the volume turned up so high for such a long time that it's hard to pay attention to the little things now when you come back. And you had such a sense of purpose and belonging because we were part of history. We were in a war that was, you know, going to be marked down. We had our really important jobs, life and death, millions of dollars worth of equipment. You're leading men in combat. And then when I came back, my first job that I could find, limping around still because I was still hurt, was I was a waiter at a floating restaurant on the Columbia. I was still taking orders, but different types of orders. These orders were for fish and chips. And at that point, my emotions were wrecked. PTSD is a real thing. I know it's just become kind of a junk word today, and they use it for everything. But, like, for me, coming back from the war, not only was my body broken, but my emotions were broken. And it's like I had to learn how to use them again. Like, you know, just a couple months after I finally got out of the military, my dad died, and it didn't affect me emotionally at all. I was like, oh, okay. But then I can watch a commercial where some kid doesn't call his grandma on an AT&T commercial or something, I'll just break down and start sobbing and crying like it's the saddest thing in the world.
I totally get it. So when I was growing up, a lot of sense of purpose. I was very active with volunteering in the community. I was involved in Boy Scouts. I was an Eagle Scout. I'd go out on my weekends when I wasn't working at Fort Clatsop, and I'd go kayaking and just always out doing something.
Yeah.
And then I joined the military, and I come back, and everything that I went through and you know, my mom would say, you know, you're not my kid anymore. Mm. You have no sense of emotions. My ex-wife would say the same thing. You walk into a room and you could change the entire dynamic inside a room just by even being silent. It's just,
yeah,
there's no emotion. There's no feeling. And one of the hardest things I ever went through in my life was my divorce. Here I've been in three combat tours, done firefighting, wildland firefighting, been through a lot, working in law enforcement, and nothing prepared me for the struggle I would have in going through my divorce.
Yeah, it's tough.
That was tough. And, and afterwards I lost my brother, I lost my dad, I lost my dog over Christmas, and my emotions were just not there. I was very much the glue for the family. When my brother passed, my mom was just, no mother should ever have to bury their child. No. And it was hard for her. But, you know, not having that emotion, and, you know, some people would say, you know, you're being courageous and everything. But, you know, I was the one dealing with the doctors then. And, I totally understand,
And I want to tell anybody who's out there, like, or a family member of somebody who's going through that type of stuff, if you are just having a hard time, it doesn't have to have to do with the service that you served. And you could be a Cold War vet, or maybe you're a vet that's after, hasn't gone to any war. That's fine. We're still here. And so you can come to Vet Coffee every Thursday at 9 a.m. to 11 at the Elks Lodge, downtown Astoria. We also do a dog walk on Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. We meet out by Pier 12 and we walk, I don't know, a couple miles, get our dogs out there. You'll see us. And we're doing all kinds of good stuff. I wanted to talk a little bit more about veteran service officers real quick. I know we're running out of time. But Rogue Cell went and we actually testified in front of the county commission. And we were able to get a second, or we helped them. I'm sure that that was already the plans, but we had been talking about it for a long time since our documentary aired at the Liberty, getting a second veteran service officer here. And now the county has agreed to do that. So we will have two veteran service officers and I think an admin specialist. And that's a huge deal because I remember I had talked about how Oregon was in the top five states. Recently, we were talking to Ashley Taylor, mm-hmm. who is works for the VA, and she told us that now Oregon is 16th. So we still have a lot of work to do, but that's a great improvement right there.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I don't think we can take credit for that, but I do see like so many people and so many groups out there. And that's what a veteran service officer does. He'll take a veteran. Yes, they do work on disability claims, and that's a really important part of a veteran's life and their healing process and helping them out. But it'll also direct you to different resources and organizations that are out there that you might need. I had no idea about a tax credit for when you buy a house, and my veteran service officer told me about that. I had no idea about different getaways around Oregon. Like if you're a veteran and you want to go fly fishing or rafting, there's usually something going on every single year. So your VSOs will know stuff about that in your community. And so that's why I'm really excited because our county is double the national average of veterans. And what that means is the percentage of the population for the entire United States who are veterans is around 5%. Clatsop County is 10%. Pacific County is 10%. Tillamook County is 10%. Columbia County is 12%. We have a really high concentration of veterans on the North Coast. And I think that's why we need another veteran service officer. But also, we need a veterans advisory board. 15 out of the 36 counties in this state have them already. And so RogueCell is going to really try hard to work with the county commission and get a veterans advisory board going. Because we don't really celebrate our veterans holidays or veterans too much. I mean, we have the Green Line. Can you think of anything else?
You know, it's interesting, you know, and working with the American Legion and you know, both you and I have gone through some of those scrapbooks.
I want to say, so as far as American Legion goes here in town, I'm the vice commander and you're the historian.
Yeah. And, you know, we're really trying to turn the Legion around and a lot of great work done with Brian and Donna over there. So.
Oh, my gosh. Brian is such a just a superstar. He does so much stuff. You know, he's such a great guy.
Real workhorse.
Brian Woolsey and then Clyde Thompson.
Yep.
They're good people. All right. So thank you guys so much. This has been a RogueCell Radio edition of a beautiful Thursday. Get out there and see the sunshine. RogueCell is more than a show. If you're a veteran or a family member or a veteran looking for community, we have a vet coffee every Thursday. And we walk dogs on Saturdays. And for more information, check out roguecell.org. And thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Really appreciate y'all. Right. So thanks for listening.
Support for this program comes in part from Our Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific. Published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Astorian, and online at discoverourcoast.com.
You just listened to RogueCell on KMUN.